When it comes to safety, nothing is more important than your vehicle's brakes. If it's hard to stop or you hear squealing or grinding noises during braking, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll find the brake parts you need from trusted brands like Brake Best and Brake Best Select at everyday low prices. Play it safe with brakes from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
This program is being sponsored by Sandra Godley Ministries of the UK.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Yes, I did. So I packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little something to show you how we live. Everybody doing it, but it ain't that serious. That's that. So if you gon' do it just like this.
Good afternoon, my good people. Welcome back to the Heart of a Champion radio program. As always, I am your humble host, Mr. Jason Champion, better known to all of my friends as Champ. So what's up, everybody? It is Hump Day, Wednesday, June the 13th, and we have a lot to talk about, as we always do. There's a lot going on in our world, as there always is. There's a lot happening in sports, a lot happening in finance, a lot happening in life, period. But before we get to all of that, we want to just petition our Father this morning, for this afternoon, for his wonderful grace and his mercy and just his love for us. Would you bow your heads wherever you are, or just quiet your mind, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come to you and to petition our hearts to you. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to approach the throne boldly and to find favor and grace in time of need. We thank you, Lord, that you are not like we are. You are not as we are. You do not hold grudges. You do not take an account of wrongs. You do not keep a record of what we did. As far as the east is from the west, Lord, you cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them or bring them up again. Lord, we thank you for that kind of love. We thank you for that kind of grace. We thank you for that kind of mercy. We thank you for that kind of covering. And we ask, oh God, that you would help us to be like-minded with our brothers and our sisters, our family members, our co-workers. Help us, Lord, to cast their sins against us as far as the east is from the west, and to throw it into the sea of forgetfulness, to not remember, to not bring it up again. Of course, we're human, so we're going to remember, but we don't have to bring it up. We don't have to dwell on those things. Help us to be gracious as you are gracious. Help us to be kind as you are kind. Help us to be loving and forgiving as you are loving and forgiving. Now, God, we ask a special prayer for today's show that you would sanction, that you would govern, that you would speak life through me. That's something that I say, God, as it has been given by the utterance of the Holy Spirit. I pray that whoever's listening under the sound of my voice, God, that there would be some deliverance, some healing, some hope. Something would be said that would turn that darkness away from our listeners, God, that the enemy would not be able to win the fight or win the battle, but God, that you would provide a healing salve on the minds and the ears of the listeners, particularly the minds, God, where our brains are, where this, what we're going to talk about today, where that's where all of these different things happen, is in the mind, where the brain sits. And, oh, God, I pray now that you would deliver, heal, and restore not only the people who suffer from mental health illness, but their families who've had to walk through it with them. We thank you for life, which is precious. We thank you for health, which is precious. We pray for those, God, who are struggling through bad health. And we ask, God, for grace and mercy to continue to be able to do the things that we have to do day to day in the face of challenge, in the face of tragedy, in the face of fear, and in the face of lack. We pray, God, that your grace would shine brighter and that your victory would shine brighter than anything that would come to derail us. We thank you for Ms. Kayla Padgett and all of those who work tirelessly and diligently over at the Finding My Way channel that allow us and afford us this privilege and opportunity to get the word out so that people might be blessed. We ask, God, that you would bless our households, bless our finances, bless our lives, God, that they might be a reflection of you, realizing that it takes our own discipline to get closer to that goal. It's not going to happen by osmosis. It's not going to happen by the waving of a magic wand. Our closeness with you is only going to happen through our discipline. Give us the strength that it takes to pray daily, to read our words, God, even when we don't feel like it. It's in your wonderful, matchless Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. And we say amen. Today we want to talk about something that is very, 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 very sensitive and very important. And we want to talk about mental health illness. No doubt there are droves of people that don't really know the severity of mental health. No doubt that there are people out there listening that may have joked a time or two about somebody who has mental health, not knowing that that's what they had. Maybe you've been the person to say a joke or to make light of or to make fun of someone who had some challenges or who appeared to be just a negative person or who appeared to be sad all the time. But when in fact that's not the case at all, these people are probably suffering from mental health and they don't even know it. Because many people don't go to the hospital to diagnose or to discover what the problem is. They just think that it's a part of their DNA, their personality. They think that it's just the way that it is. I was reading something from Kay Warren. Kay Warren is the wife of Pastor Rick Warren. Many of you know them from The Purpose Driven Life. Pastor Warren wrote that book years ago when it was made really famous because of the young lady that was kidnapped at gunpoint by the gentleman here in Atlanta. And during she was held hostage in her own home. And during that time, the gentleman that was holding her hostage, she read the book to him, Purpose Driven Life, and it saved her life, and God used it. And Pastor Warren is now one of the foremost experts in theology and religion. And his wife, Kay, she had a quote on their website that I want to read to you. And many of you may know, many of you may not know, that in 2013, I believe in August, Pastor Rick Warren and Kane Warren, they suffered one of the most tragic losses a parent could suffer, and that is their son, Matthew, committed suicide. I believe he was 27. How unimaginable, how unthinkable that as pastors, you know, people who are carriers of the word, bearers of the torch, how unimaginable that they would have a child that would take his or her own life because of the heaviness of depression or anxiety or schizophrenia, whatever the case. His was depression. But this is what she had to say as she reflected about her own life and mental health. As long as I can remember, I've lived with a low level of depression. Of course, depression wasn't a word that we used when I was growing up. Family and friends instead said I tended to be negative, that I usually saw the glass half empty. Through adolescence, I frequently found myself sad. I frequently found myself sad, aching for the brokenness in myself and the world around me. The dark periods never lasted long, and within a few days, I felt like myself again. It was only after my youngest son showed signs of depression at age 7 did it dawn on me that my periodic episodes of negativity are really episodes of depression. I've since learned that mental illness is common. 1 in 5 Americans will experience a mental illness in the coming year. Approximately 60 million men, women, and children will show signs of bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, depression, anxiety, and eating disorder, or another diagnosable mental illness. Mental illness is not only common, it's highly treatable when addressed quickly, allowing many to manage their illness well. She went on to say that part of managing a mental illness is developing the right life skills that lead to resilience, the ability to bounce back from the inevitable setbacks and relapses that happen with a chronic illness. For many people, drawing upon their faith is a powerful, comforting and resilience building way of managing mental illness. Studies have shown that people of faith have better outcomes than those who do not. That's because we all desperately long for true and authentic connections with other human beings, and being a part of a church can meet that need for rich and meaningful relationships with caring friends. Let me parenthetically inject right there. It talks about those of us who are of the faith have a better chance at coping and dealing with mental illnesses because we truly long for authentic connections with other human beings, and being part of a church can meet that need for rich, meaningful relationships with caring friends. But if you are a part of a church that has cliques and groups of people, and especially in the African American church, I see this all too often, we have droves of people and cliques of people and sects of people who are just mean-spirited, almost like high school, the famous kids versus the not-so-famous kids, the popular kids versus the not-popular kids, and the popular kids make fun of the unpopular kids, and they bully them. We have that in our churches today. And so it is paramount. This is not just like a fleeting subject. This is real, real life, I mean, deeply important stuff. Watch the kind of person that you are. Be the kind of person that allows people who may not feel comfortable or have mental illness, don't make them, don't alienate them, don't make fun of them, don't talk about them, don't be mean-spirited. We have way too many mean-spirited people, not only in church, but just in life. I've never seen so many ugly people, and I don't mean ugly in you know, aesthetically. I just mean heart. Their hearts are ugly. And I know we all have the tendency and the propensity to be, you know, not so nice, but I'm just saying as a way of life, people who just breed drama, breed evilness. She went on to say that we all need hope to cope. And the emphasis on a caring, loving God who offers hope for today as well as tomorrow, offers encouragement to hold on to in challenging times. Prayer and meditation offer connection with God, reminding us we're not alone in the universe. She says, for her, faith in God has been the anchor in the hard times, keeping her tethered not just to life, but to the people she loves, to the people she works with, the relationships that sustained her, and to the hope that better days are ahead. Depression is easier for me to manage, she says, when I remember God is always with me, and my growing faith practice builds my resilience one day at a time. Again, these are the words of Kay Warren, the wife and first lady of the Saddleback Church, Pastor Rick Warren, where he pastors in California. Mental illness is not a game. It's not something that is to be scoffed at, something to be laughed at. The reason I sound intense today is because it baffles me that people are so cruel and that people are so selfish and so myopic in their thinking. When I say myopic, I mean just short-sighted. Just they only see from a small platform. They don't look at life in the total grandeur and the big scheme of things. They only see their lives and their, you know, their issues. And mental health is a very serious issue that plagues America and the world. Of course, you all, I'm sure you all can deduce that the reason that I'm having this show today, the topic of this show, is because late earlier this week or last week, we lost two people to suicide. Kate and Anthony Bourdain. I can't remember Kate's last name at this moment. I'm so sorry. But Kate and Anthony Bourdain were very, very wealthy, affluent individuals. I mean, Kate had one of the largest designer bag companies, you know, that built from nothing. And Kate Spade was her name. And Anthony Bourdain had one of the most popular television shows on the Travel Channel, where he would go around the world and, you know, introduce people to, you know, different cultures and food and drinks and so on and so forth. Multi-million dollar business he had. Kate Spade, the same. I don't know what it was for Anthony, but have it that Kate Spade's husband was leaving her, and she couldn't deal with that, so much so that she took her life. I cannot corroborate that story or confirm that, but that's so far, that's what the reports have been. No matter what it is, suicide and mental health are serious, no matter what the reasons. We've got a lot more to talk about when we come back. Coming up next, David Frazier and Favor, followed by one of my favorites, Marvin Sapp, with his brand new single entitled Listen. You guys listen up, and we'll be right back. Heart of a Champion.
Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Let's declare to the body of Christ that we're walking in the favor of God. Listen. I'm walking in the favor of God. His grace and mercy has brought me this far. I will believe all His word says about me. Lack and poverty is not my death. I'm walking in the favor of God.
Sometimes that no matter what you do, But no matter how hard you work, striving to make things better in your life, but for some reason you're not getting nowhere. Well, I want you to turn to the one next to you and tell them, you tried your way,
it didn't work, no. You put him second,
yeah.
And put you first.
Oh, yeah.
You trusted friends, thought they had your back.
Oh, oh.
And every time you turn around, it seems you're under attack. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But turn to your neighbor and say,
hey,
see, the devil is alive.
Hey,
no, I'm not gonna die.
Hey,
it's okay to cry,
hey,
cause he's by your side.
Hey,
you gotta stop that hating.
Hey,
I know you don't wanna hear it.
Hey,
gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit.
Cause
he's speaking to your heart right now. Just listen to the Spirit. Oh, hold up.
Hallelujah.
Your bills are due, and all the people you helped did not want to help you. I talked to my mother,
she said, pray about
it. I talked to my pastor,
she said, pray about it.
But I was so blinded by all my disaster. I wish you would just tell your neighbor, tell them for me. See, the devil is a liar. No, you're not gonna die. It's okay to cry, cause he's by your side. You gotta stop that hating. I know you don't wanna hear it. Gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit, y'all. He's speaking to your heart right now. Listen to the Spirit, oh.
God's trying to tell you something. Marvin Sapp, listen. Family, God is always trying to tell us something, whether it be through his word, whether it be through our circumstances, or whether it's through other people that he sends to speak a word of encouragement or a word of edification or a word of knowledge, which we call prophecy. There are two kinds of prophecy, the kind that tells you what's coming forthcoming, or the kind that tell you where you are right at that moment. Things that no one could know. But the fact remains that God is always trying to get our attention. even with this topic, mental health, God is always trying to get us to pay attention and to listen. The struggle is that we have so much going on every day, day to day, that sometimes or a lot of times we fail to pay attention because we only want to pay attention to what's important to us. It's funny how things that don't affect you, you don't pay attention to. But the moment it comes to visit you on your street, then all of a sudden you have all of these sensitivities. I would admonish us to start paying more attention to things, even if they don't affect us. The Bible says that we are to bear the burdens of one another, bear the burdens of each other. How many of us see that going on in a day, you know, just in our daily experience existence? I know I don't see very much, I don't see very many people bearing the burdens of other people because those burdens are too heavy for them, let alone why would I want to pick up your burden and carry it with you? That means that I would have to walk in close proximity with you. I would have to be in covenant with you. And God forbid I get too close because I don't want your drama or your negativity to rub off on me. That's usually the attitude in the heart of a lot of people. But if we are truly going to be our brother's keeper, the Bible says that my disciples are known by their love for the brethren. And we've got it all we've got it all discombobulated and all out of sorts. We've got this thing all wrong. We think that life is supposed to be about us and us only and our families only. We think that we're supposed to just make sure that we can provide for the people that we love and care about, while people who are right up under our noses are hurting and dying, literally dying, because the burdens that they're carrying are too heavy, and some of them make the choice to end it all and check out of here and commit suicide or overdose. Life is not a game. Life is precious. But there are some brothers and sisters who are out there who are hurting y'all. And if we are really the church, if we are really the ecclesia, the called out, if we are really the disciples of Christ, not Christians per se, not churchgoers on Sunday, religious people having this religious experience, all of those things are true. It's the makeup of who we are. But the core of who we should be disciples of Christ, mimicking and imitating and mirroring his characteristics, the most important of which is love. It's going to cost you something to love your brother and your sister. It's going to cost you something to carry the burdens or help carry the burdens of your sister or your neighbor or your family member that's struggling, that's going through alcoholism or drug addiction or sexual addiction. It's going to cost you something. It's probably going to cost you being close enough to them that other people who judge them are going to judge you. At what point do we stand up and stand against what we've been so afraid of? Why are you so afraid of the judgment of other people? Why are you so afraid of what other people will say? Most of the time, people that are talking are people who don't have ideas. They don't have things that they're invested in. I saw something a while ago that said it's small-minded people that talk about other people, but people with big dreams and big aspirations and big goals, they talk about ideas. Generally speaking, people that spend time talking about other people and keeping the drama up, they're doing absolutely nothing. They're not going anywhere. They're not invested in anything. They don't spend time building themselves up so they tear other people down, and it helps make them feel comfortable about who they are. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it when I do it. I'm guilty of doing it. I've done it. I have done it myself. I have asked God for forgiveness many times because I have been the person in the room who laughed at the joke about the person who wasn't there to defend themselves. That's ugly. I have been the person who laughed at a joke about somebody who was there, only to watch that person walk off in utter defeat and with their head held low. And then I had to go back later and apologize because I know that kind of pain. Why would we inflict on somebody the kind of pain that we have once experienced before? There's some hurting people in the world. We ought to find a way to stop perpetuating the hurt. Be part of the solution. Let's be part of the solution, not the problem. How can we love? How can we love better? Do you get up in the morning with drama on your mind, or do you get up in the morning thinking, Lord, please show me the way to be a blessing to somebody? I know we're guilty. We're all guilty. But this is what we ought to spend time doing with what we have left on this earth. I'm 45. God be merciful and God be gracious. I have another 40 to 50 years on this planet. Some of us have lived half of our lives already. When you put it in perspective, if you're over 35, you've lived, some of us have lived half of our lives. What will you do with the time that you have left? Will you be a conduit for change and love and reconciliation? The Bible says we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. God wants us to use our love and our powers. Our powers, when I say power, I mean the power that God has given us. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. God wants us to use that power to love people. Do you know how powerful it is when you give love to somebody versus giving them the unforgiveness and the bitterness? Do you know how powerful you are? You possess the power, maybe not to change someone's life. The Bible says that some plant and some water, but it is God that gives the increase. But if you're not planting anything, if you're not watering anything, you're not helping. You're detracting. If you're not fanning the flames of purpose in other people's lives, then you're dousing the fire on their hopes and their dreams. We know that the scripture says in Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to the purpose. We know that. But folks, I want to tell you, as somebody who has struggled with mental health my own self, and I don't mind being transparent, I have struggled my entire life with fear and anxiety and trepidation, and I mean debilitating fear. God has blessed me to come through those dark places. I still have anxiety attacks every now and again, but nothing like I used to have. Nothing like I used to spend time in my own mind just down and out. So I know what it's like. But let me explain to you something. Just because you are a Christian, listen to me, if you're out there listening and you're struggling through depression or mental health, just because you are a Christian, don't let somebody tell you that the Word of God is all you need, that God is, that's all you need. Listen, sometimes there's modern medicine that you need, and you are no less a Christian. You are no less sanctified. You are no less anointed. You are no less called by God because you have and require medicine. Just because you take a pill that helps your anxiety levels come down does not make you any less gifted and anointed in the body of Christ. There are doctors who can't get their blood pressure under control, so they take a blood pressure pill. There are surgeons who work on and save other people's lives, but they have to take medicine themselves. Guess what? They are no less qualified to operate on other people because they're bleeding and hurting themselves. But the Word of God, mind you, hear me when I say the Word of God is infallible. The Word of God is powerful. But sometimes you need doctors and modern medicine. And mental health is a disease of the brain. There's chemical imbalance, and sometimes you need something that's going to help you with the chemical imbalance. I was looking for some scriptures to try to give to the people who would be listening today to, you know, scriptures that go along with mental health. And there are a lot of scriptures that talk about, you know, certain things, but it doesn't really, my old pastor used to say, the Bible always means what it says, but it doesn't always say what it means. And sometimes you have to decipher through, you know, those particular scriptures to get the underlying meaning. But in 1 John 4, chapter 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. What does that have to do with mental health? It is a spirit. It is a spirit. It is a spirit. A spirit of confusion, a spirit of fear. And we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But while you're working these things out to be delivered from these things, go see your doctor, go see a therapist, talk to somebody. Don't end your life. But what happens is, a lot of times, people with mental health disorders, there's this voice inside their head screaming and yelling and telling them that it's what they're going through is beyond them. And there's no hope. And they're not going to be able to make it through it. But the devil is a lie. And I don't mean that as an old church euphemism. I mean the devil really is a lie. And you can overcome. It's going to take work. It's going to take blood, sweat, and tears. But you can overcome. But it's only through, I believe, this is where the faith component comes in. I believe it's only through having a relationship, excuse me, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that any of this is even remotely possible. Because if you're trying to do this on your own, forget about it. Forget about it. There are 365 occurrences. I don't think this is a coincidence. There are 365 occurrences in Scripture on the word fear. Now, not all of them, not all of their definitions are fear as we know it. Some of them are not applicable to, you know, don't be afraid. But nonetheless, there are 365 occurrences of do not fear or fear not or don't be afraid in the Bible. I don't think that that's a coincidence that there are 365 days in a year, and biblically there are the word fear is mentioned 365 times. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He doesn't want us afraid. What does fear have to do with mental health? I'm going to read some things about mental health and you'll understand. But before I do, I want to read this quote from Robin Williams. Most of you know Robin Williams was one of the most gifted actors that we have ever known. He was born in 1951 and took his life in 2014. He was one of the most, if you've watched any of his movies, he was one of the most gifted at invoking emotion. And then you never know what somebody's going through. You know, he got a chance to play many characters on the screen to escape his mental health. A lot of people listening don't have the escape. They don't have somewhere to go that they can escape. But this is what he said, and I think this is, I don't know, this quote to me just stood out and resonated with me because it's how I want to live. He said, "I think the saddest people always try their hardest to make people happy because they know what it's like to feel absolutely worthless. And they don't want anybody else to feel like that." Robin Williams said, "I think the saddest people are always try their hardest to make people happy because they know what it's like to feel absolutely worthless, and they don't ever want anybody else to feel like that. That's heavy. That's heavy. Mental illness comes in a variety of forms accompanied by a number of related symptoms. Mental illnesses are some of the most misunderstood afflictions in today's society. Too many people think of mental illness as a weakness. Nothing could be further from the truth. These are true illnesses and brain diseases. Anybody who thinks mental illness is a weakness, excuse the expression. Well, I can't say it like that because that would then be mean and perpetuate. But anybody who thinks mental illness is a weakness, you have no idea what it's like to carry that burden. You have to be a strong person to carry and to live and exist and go through life with mental illness. We're going to take a quick break. We've only got 15 minutes left. I knew this show was going to go by quickly because there's so much to cover. And, oh, man, I love you guys, and I hope this is helping somebody. Coming up next, Elevation Collection featuring Travis Green with Do It Again, followed by Mr. Ted Wynn and Standing in Awe. We will be right back. 1246, Heart of a Champion radio program. We love you.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Oh, so keep me.
Keep me within your love.
My heart will sing your praise
again.
Oh,
promise
to
stay.
Promise to stay.
Great is your faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
bring you to it again, Elevation Worship featuring Travis Green. Our time is running out, saints, friends, people of God, but I want to make sure that I finish at least highlighting some of the mental disorders that people are out there struggling through. Maybe if you see it, maybe if you hear it, you'll be a little bit more sensitive to other people. As Kay Warren was saying when she was a little girl, her family just called her negative and said that she always saw the glass half empty. That really wasn't the case. She was struggling through depression. But a lot of times it doesn't have a title or a face on it. And so we mislabel things when really people are just hurting. There are many disorders. Anxiety disorders are the most common and treatable mental health disorders, and they affect more than 19 million people a year. There's a difference between everyday anxiety and anxiety disorders. People with anxiety disorders feel significant tension when there is no real danger and take extreme action to avoid the source of their anxiety. They know their reactions aren't always logical but cannot control them. As with all mental health disorders, they can interfere with everyday functioning in life and work roles. Anxiety disorders fall into five main categories: panic disorder, phobias, obsessive compulsive, generalized anxiety disorder, and post-traumatic stress disorder. With all of these, there are great fears and great hallucinations. People think that there's something there that's not there. That's not funny. If you see somebody struggling, don't laugh at them. Pray for them. If you have the ability to help them, help them. If you have the ability to encourage them to get to a hospital or doctor that can maybe prescribe some medication that will help relieve their stress levels and their chemical imbalance, do that. Bipolar disorder, also known as manic depression, is a mental health disorder involving extreme mood swings. A person's mood can swing from mania to an excessive high to a deep depression with periods of normal mood in between. It's a real thing. Real thing. Real, 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 real thing. More than 2.5 million Americans have the disorder. Studies show that 80 to 90% of those with bipolar disorder have relatives with some form of depression. Bipolar disorder can be triggered by this genetic vulnerability and environmental factors. Signs and symptoms of mania include the following: excessive energy, activity, restlessness, racing thoughts, and rapid talking. Feel on top of the world, overconfident, easily irritated or distracted. God knows I've been there. Decreased need for sleep, uncharacteristically poor judgment, increased sexual drive, abuse of drugs. Signs and symptoms of depression include a persistent, sad, helpless, and hopeless mood, loss of interest or pleasure in activities once enjoyed, sleeping too little or too much, reduced appetite and weight loss, or increased appetite and weight, fatigue or loss of energy, low self-esteem, feelings of worthlessness and guilt, agitation or irritability, difficulty concentrating or making decisions, thoughts of death or suicide. A lot of times, you got to be careful, especially with children, because our children go to school and you don't realize that they're struggling through mental health. So when they go to school and they get in trouble, you come home and you whip them, you punish them, and you teach them through your punishment. You teach them through your abuse. Yes, the Bible says spare the rod, spoil the child, but I think God had a far different meaning other than just beating your kids. Think about it. How many of you have children that you beat, that you yelled at, that you punished, and somehow or another, that didn't even work, and it frustrated you because it didn't work. It didn't cure them. It didn't stop them from doing whatever it was that they were doing. You know why? Because at the core of the problem, there's mental health, and you can't beat that away. You can't yell that away. Pay attention to your kids. Listen to them. Listen to the things that they don't say. Watch their behaviors. It's okay to be Christian and not have it all together. I don't know if you knew that, but I want to let you know today, it's okay to be a Christian and to struggle with mental health. It's okay, as long as you don't give over to the struggle, as long as you don't just give up. It's okay to be Christian and struggle with eating disorders. It's okay to be Christian and to struggle with alcoholism and sexual addiction. It's okay. It's not okay that you have those addictions, but it's okay that you have brokenness and that God still can use you, but you have to get the help. God can and will deliver you. The other forms of mental health are clinical depression. Some people call it the blues, but it's way more than the blues. It's way more. Co-occurring disorders. That's when people are addicted to drugs and alcohol at the same time. What kind of mental emotional problems are seen in people with co-occurring disorder? Depressive disorders such as depression, bipolar, anxiety disorders, and they're all interchangeable. That's what I found out from studying this. They're all overlapping. All overlapping. There is hope. There is hope. You can play an important role by encouraging a person to seek professional diagnosis and treatment. By learning about these disorders, you can help the person find and stick with effective recovery program. The more you know about it, the more you can help somebody else. Schizophrenia affects 2.5 million persons in the United States alone and knows no racial, cultural, or economic boundaries. It is a mental health disorder that affects the way a person thinks, feels, and acts. The person may have trouble concentrating or organizing thoughts, expressing inappropriate emotions, or is unable to express emotions at all. I know quite a few people that way. These signs and symptoms include delusions, which are false beliefs. You ever tried to have an argument with somebody who their premise of the argument is already wrong in the first place? That's when you need to stop. That's when the Bible is true. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. They have hallucinations, which include imaginary voices that gives commands or insults. Social withdrawal, apathy. Folks, these are some very real things, and we're out of time. And we're going to have to pick this up again maybe next week. Believe in God because God is love, and love is what the world needs now. Remember that in life, nothing is guaranteed except the end of it. But between birth, the beginning, and death, the ending, well, the middle part, that is up to you. Be part of the solution. Be part of the healing, not the hurting. Be someone that somebody can bleed on safely. Remember, mental health is real. Look for people. Look for them. Help them. Heart of a Champion radio program. I'm your host, Jason Champion. Until next week, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This program is sponsored by Dr. Shimigoto Ministries of South Africa on SKM Radio Network USA World.
Greetings, one. Greetings, all. This is Dr. Jamshamani coming in from Johannesburg, South Africa. It is a great day to be alive. It is a great day to be in the service for the Lord. I'd like to thank this opportunity from Kyla and from Pastor Shimi Godu, a good friend of mine, to be able to share a little one or two things that God has put in my spirit today. I'd like to share on a topic that I entitled Let Go and Let God. But before I do that, I'd like to start with a song. The song is called You Ready Me, from my new album called Cross Power Experience, volume number 3. The song is You Reign. let go and let God. A very difficult thing to do, to let go, you know, because we are used to holding on to things and wanting to know what is going on, wanting to know what tomorrow brings, preparing for the future. You know, we are in that space. But letting go generally is what God needs from us. God cannot lead us if we are holding on to our lives, holding on to things, holding on to what we know. The topic says, let go and let God. I want to read John chapter 10, verse number 10. The verse says, I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. This is what Jesus was saying, that the reason for his coming onto this earth was that he wanted to provide life to us and provide it so that we are having life, not just life, but to have it more abundantly. Not just life, but to have life in abundance. What is life? He'd say, it's a question that we would like to go into, because if a person is listening now and they don't have Jesus as Savior, they might hear this and say, what do you mean, because I am alive? Be alive doesn't mean you have life. You can be alive, but actually be dead, as we shall see as we go on. When you look at the Oxford Dictionary says life is a state of functional activity, and functional comes from the word function, and function means activity by which a thing fulfills its purpose. It's an activity by which a thing fulfills its purpose. So if you are not fulfilling your purpose, you are as good as dead. I imagine as I speak to you tonight, you are hearing me wherever you are, because the microphone I am using is functional. It is fulfilling its purpose. Therefore, the microphone is alive. The microphone has life. Now, life means being aligned to the purpose of your existence. It doesn't matter how you are or who you are, where you come from, what you look like, how old you are or how young you are. The most important thing is for you to fulfill the purpose of your existence. Now, when Jesus says, I come that they might have life and have life more abundantly, this comes from a situation where when God looked at us on this earth, he found that people are breathing, people are walking, people are sleeping and waking up, people are doing their chores, do all kinds of things, but people are not alive. They are dead. Reminds me of a film, Dead Man Walking. We were found by Jesus, we were like dead men walking. Humankind was dead, but humankind was walking around, talking and doing all kinds of stuff. And then God decided that I will send my son into the earth so that my son may produce life into them, inject life into these people, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. This means, before you receive Christ as your Savior, even though you think you are living, you actually are not. You simply exist, because there is no direction in your life. You are not aligned to your purpose. As I said, function means activity by which a thing fulfills its purpose. It's impossible to fulfill your purpose without Christ. Impossible to fulfill your purpose without Christ, because if you don't have Christ, you don't have God. If you don't have God, you don't have the source that defines the purpose of your life is God. And if you are disconnected from God, there is no way you will fulfill the purpose of your existence. Anybody that knows how products work, if you have a product, whether it's a cell phone or a computer, the most important thing is the connection to the one that created the product, so that when stuff happens along the way, you are able to connect with the source of the product, the source of the product will tell you what to do when stuff goes wrong. But the biggest thing is this. You need to be connected at all times with the source. If it's a gadget, whether it's a computer or a phone, it comes with a manual. And the manual gives you information as to how to conduct, how to operate this gadget or this machine the proper way. That is, now you have your Bible in our case, where the Bible tells us how we need to live the life. I love it when Paul continues to say, in Christ. He always repeats that phrase, in Christ. Because in Christ means in sync with Christ. It means things that you could not do on your own, things that you can't do, even if they are demanded by God, you can do when you are in Christ. So if you don't have Christ as your Savior, even though you think you are alive, but you are not, you simply exist. There's no direction in your life. That is why you don't find satisfaction or fulfillment in anything. The reason why Christ came was to give mankind life in abundance. And life in abundance is only found in the giver of life himself. The life in abundance only comes from the source of life. When a microphone is functioning, you can hear me through the speakers. This means you're only alive when you are functional, when you are what you have been created to be. I have seen many people run around trying to be something they are not. It is this world that teaches that a person can be anything they want. I've heard it more than one time in my life. You can be, even parents tell their children, you can be anything you want. It's a false teaching. You can be anything you want. Because this leads people to look around to find what they like, and then they go out and try to be that. There's nothing wrong for you to sit down and look on the inside, because what you are is on the inside. It's not on the outside. There is nothing that wastes time like trying to be something you are not. What you are, you already are. What makes us to be lost is that we think we need to try to be something. Christ restored us into alignment to what God has created us to be. There is no creator that creates something to be anything it wants to be. It's a ridiculous teaching to say that you can be anything you want. You can try, but you will not find fulfillment. You will not experience life in abundance. You will have all the things and the trappings of this world, and people will look at you and think you have everything you need. But you will be miserable and not fulfilled because you are not what you are created to be. You are not aligned to the purpose of your existence. Therefore, you can't inherit this life in abundance that Christ has come to give us. I believe that everybody has been created to be and do something specific. Abundance in life is found in this alignment with Christ, and so that you are aligned to who you really are. Who you are is found on the inside. Allow Christ to lead you by paying attention to what he says to you through his word. And I call on you, whoever you are, that wherever you are, what you're going through, I have no idea. But God knows what you're going through and the fulfillment that you are chasing through everything that you are trying to do. Others are chasing it through career. Others are trying to chase it through other people they bring into their life. Others are trying to do all kinds of stuff, even jobs that pay them a lot of money. But they don't experience abundance of life that Christ died to provide. Challenge you today to come to Christ. When you come to Christ, you shall find this abundant life. Because when God looked at the world, he only saw death. People were breathing, but they did not have life. They were not functional. They were not what they were created to be. Take a little break. We'll come back in a little while. We'll hear a song from a new album. It's called I Run to Him. He Makes It All Right. From Crossbar Experience number 3.
He will make it all right. to him. He'll make it
all right.
All right.
He will what?
He'll wipe my own tears away.
And he'll make it
and
all right.
He'll make it.
Yeah. Come on, Jordy, let me hear you.
I'll run.
Run to Jesus.
Oh, to my Savior.
Because?
And I know we'll make it all. Mm-hmm. All right. He'll wipe my tears away. Jesus, you'll make it all.
Talking about having life and having it more abundantly in a topic that says let go and let God. Jesus says, I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. This is found in John 10, verse 10. This means I come that they might function, and that they might be functional, that they may be fulfilled and fulfill the purpose for which they are created. It means if we are not functional, it means we are dead, even though we breathe. And like I said, I don't know what you're going through now, but God is waiting for you to give him an opportunity to come into your life and inject you with a life, not just life, but life abundantly. Because when we looked at the situation in the world, he concluded that I will send my son. And when Christ came, in John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And in John 5, verse 12, he says, he that hath the Son hath life. For Christ restores function in us. We are able to know him and have a relationship with him, recognize him in our lives when we accept him as our Savior. Issue is here. He said, I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, John 10, verse 10. But more abundantly means in excess. It means you have it that's enough, but you get more than enough. Oh, this is amazing for me. It means overflowing life. You know, it means surplus. It means that when you have it, it's more than sufficient. Confuses a lot of people, because people who have found this life and are experiencing abundance in this life. Normally, it's not the people that have everything that they needed. It's not the people that have material things, for instance. It's not the people that are comfortable in this life. It's not the people that don't have a worry, but it's the people that are connected and aligned to the will of God who are able to smile when things don't look right. People who are able to walk and say, I know my Redeemer liveth. It's people that know that. Whatever they're going through, their God is with them. Because God provided for us before he created us. And the problem is, we don't understand abundance. We have been taught wrong. And this world teaches us to chase after to material things that are on the outside. Because this world, hello, I'm back again. And you're talking about letting go and letting God. It's a difficult thing in the world that we live in. But the best route to do this is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33. This is the best route of understanding how to let God take over your life. Because when he takes over your life, he leads you. I love it when I read the Bible and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the best route in 6, Matthew, verse 33 says, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I particularly like verse number 32, because it says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows what we need. So in order for us to gain what we need, but don't lose alignment to him, the first thing we need to do is to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. Because his kingdom is engulfed in him, is wrapped up in his righteousness. Once we get hold of that, all of these other things, I love another version that says, shall be added unto you. And the version says, will be given to you as well. So if we chase after things and leave out God, those things become a curse to us. Those things become our God. But if we let go of chasing things and let God take charge of our lives, God doesn't remove himself from our situation. And he takes care of us and he takes care of our things. Because as verse 32 says, God knows what we need. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Then believe these things. When we read Matthew 6, 25, it says, take no thought for your life. This is a very difficult thing today because we always take insurance for the future. We always prepare for it. We want to be in charge of our lives. But there's a phrase that they take no thought for your life. And it makes a chance that realize that he who findeth his life shall lose it. This is crazy. Because we are taught to find our lives. We are taught to go study, go chase the stream, go clinch that deal, go do this, go do that. But it says, he who finds his life shall live it. He was saying this because he knew that he was here to take care of us, to give us life, to give us more abundantly. All that we need to do is to let go and let God. And in John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. And it's so sad to see people chasing bread in this world, chasing something to eat, even compromising their standards because they want something in their stomach to eat. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And you don't have to chase him. You don't have to pay. It is free. He says, I'm the bread of life. And in John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in 1 John 5, 12, says, he that had the Son, life. What does this mean? It means instead of chasing life, chase Christ. And life becomes automatic. Let go of all the stuff you're trying to do and let God take over. Seek ye first. It doesn't say seek ye first these other things. Say seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things shall be added. The more you're closer to Christ, the more you get these things. The more you seek him, find him, spend time with him, love him, think like him, see things like him, do like him, be like him. And our worry basically should be, how much am I like him? How close am I getting to him every day? How much do I know of him? How much do I know him? How much do I understand him? He says, I am the bread of life. It means I feed life. Jesus says, I feed life. If you want life, come to me, I feed you. Have you ever seen people that have things that they're hungry in their lives? Christ is the bread of life. Life cannot be without food. Food makes life possible. God is not happy if you're still poor. God is not happy if you survive on just enough. He has already provided more than abundance for you. He provided for you to live an abundant life. With God, things operate opposite to the world. You want life, don't seek life. You want to get, give. You want big, to be big and important, be a servant. You want to be important to other people, make other people important. You want to be a spiritual giant, you go down and become a servant. You want control of your life, surrender your life. Surrender it all to God. You want money, give money. It doesn't mean you deny that you need for things like money or cars or house or whatever. But if you understand the kingdom of God and how it operates, this does not become a problem for you. In Psalms 37, verse 4, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You desire abundant life, delight yourself in the Lord. You desire a house, a car, a husband, a wife, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight means take or find great pleasure in. Be highly pleased. God has a covenant of abundance, and he's waiting for us to cash in and live a life of abundance. But we can't do that without letting go of control of our lives. It frustrates us. The more we try to control our lives, we get so frustrated because we can't control our lives. We need God to control our lives. With so many things happening in our world, when we look at the political situation, stuff that's happening in the natural situation, floods and fires and stuff, and suicide among young people and old people. It's amazing these things, but we give God the opportunity and let go of the control. It makes us look around and see things happening, and we know that our Redeemer still lives, and then God takes the control of our lives. Can't wait to see things that are coming as soon as I achieve this complete letting go. As I talk and you are hearing wherever you are, I pray, child of God, I pray. Maybe you had your last chance today. Maybe today you're looking at your life and you say, there's no reason to leave. Maybe you're looking at your life and you say, God has turned his back against you. Maybe your stuff is not going the way you planned it. Maybe your children have gone off the rails and they are in drugs, and your children are not the children that you look at and are proud of. Maybe your husband, even your husband, is not the husband you thought you would have. Maybe you don't have anything to eat before you go to sleep. Maybe you are thinking even to end your life. Yeah, maybe some of the things that happen in your space are things that make you lose all hope. I pray to God that today, if you make that decision to say, I'm going to let go and stop trying to bring order in my life, because there's no order without God. Today, I will let go and let God take control of my life. And maybe you've been trying to be happy and you've accumulated all these things. Sometimes even the children of God fall into the trap of not letting go. Maybe you're a man of God. Maybe you're a pastor of a church. The church is not going in the direction that you planned for it to go. People are leaving your church. Even people in the church are turning against you. Maybe even at work, you have a hard time with your boss or your colleagues. Things are going haywire. You can't control. Let go. You can't control. And as a child of God, you don't need to control. You have your God who controls everything. Release, relax, and God will take control. And if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus, you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, this is the time. Because you can see that your life is not what you thought it would be. But Jesus can take you to another level if you give an opportunity to say, I let go and I let you, God, to take control of my life. This is Pastor Jabu Samani from Johannesburg, South Africa, signing off. And this is the song I'm going to play, Let It Rain, also found from Crossfire Experience 3, my latest album, Let It Rain. God richly, richly bless you. We shall see you next time. And I pray that you make that prayer tonight. And I pray that you go on your knees tonight. Your life is just a prayer away from changing into becoming what God has planned for it to be. God is waiting at all times for you to say, I let go and I let you, God, take control. Just say that prayer. You don't need to pray many words. You can go into your bedroom, just lock up the door. You can do it as you walk, wherever you are, as you hear this broadcast. You can do it in your car as you hear this. And say that little prayer. Say it from deep down in your heart. And say, Father, I'm trying to control my life. I'm trying to control my finances. I'm trying to control my relationship. I'm trying to control even my husband or my wife. It is not working out. Look where I am now. I give everything to you. I let go. You don't have to know what you're going to do next. Just release, relax, and let him take over and say, Father, I let go, and I pray that you let take over my life. Hear the song, Let It Rain. God bless you. Until next time.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Spirit of God. Let it rain like a mighty sea. Flow over me, Spirit of God. Let it rain. Let it rain.
It's a simple song. You can join.
Let it rain, Spirit of God.
Let it rain,
like a mighty
sea.
Flow
over
me, Spirit of God. Please let it rain.
I want to sing it one more time.
Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Spirit of God.
Spirit of God.
Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Like a mighty.
your people.
Now on the knees.
Move your feet.
Spirit of God.
Make it move.
Let it move.
Like a mighty.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.